Welcome back to the BunSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn, as we are now 6 weeks through the college football season. We're heading into week seven, which means we're pretty much at the halfway point of the year. And this is the point where you start evaluating things and deciding where we are. Preseason predictions, some have gone well, some have fallen long since by the wayside. And I'm going to talk to the college football professor about that in just a moment. But we have some pretty interesting storylines this week that are off the field. And I want to get into those first. We'll talk about Steve Spurrier, the longtime coach at Florida and South Carolina. Of course, a national championship coach, eight-time SEC champion coach, or six-time SEC champion coach. Steve Spurrier, of course, legendary Florida Gator, won the Heisman as a quarterback and was tremendously successful as a head coach. And he won the SEC East eight times. He had a tremendous winning percentage at both Florida and a good one at South Carolina, a place where you haven't seen a lot of winners. And so I want to get your thoughts on this retirement and what it means. And the fact that he retired, he's taken a little bit of criticism for retiring after five games or six games of the year. They got pounded by LSU last week. They've lost four games on the year, and they're over in the league. And they go into this Vanderbilt game, and he decides to hang it up. So your thoughts on Steve Spurrier?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people take a cynical view of it. I don't. Two things. First of all, I can't know what's in his heart. So for me to say this is what he thought, this is why he did it, I can't do that. The second thing, though, is I think if you looked at taking face value what he did, is probably he probably did a good thing, not a bad thing. Because by him stepping aside at this point, it may be good for South Carolina. People say, well, he quit on them. Well, I can't answer that. But it puts South Carolina in a better position, recruiting-wise, planning-wise, and all those kind of things. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I think, Jacob, you'd have to say that while he is an outstanding coach, I'm not sure his recruiting for the last couple of years has been up to what it needed to be. And maybe that's he just didn't want or didn't wasn't energized to do it. I don't know that.
Could be.
But yeah, I think it's a good that if you take it face value. Now, whether there's something outside the lines on this deal, I don't know that. But I can see how it is a positive thing in as far as what he's doing for South Carolina.
Yeah, you're right. And I think – I don't know if the recruiting thing – I think you're right. I think he even admitted in his press conference he just can't recruit, or he just doesn't recruit well, and that's the key to winning these days, or one of the big keys to winning. And you look at what he did over the years, and I think people forget – you know, because South Carolina, he's done well, but he hadn't had the kind of success he had at Florida. At Florida, in 12 years, he had less than 10 wins three times, and all three of those times, he had nine wins. So he did something at a program, and this is a program, Florida, that really, they had the Charlie Pell years, but was not a national power like it was really until Steve Spurrier got there and turned it into one, of course, winning the national championship in 1996. So what he did at Florida was really remarkable in turning them into a dynasty, and of course, we've seen what they've done since then. They've continued that success. Okay, let's move on now. Let's go to the college football season, and we're through 6 weeks, and we're going into week seven. What are your overall impressions of the way the year has gone and nationally as well as the SEC?
Well, if you start with the SEC, I think the one thing we'd have to say that most of us had crowned Georgia as being the champion of the East would be playing in the SEC championship game, and they still may, but it would take at least a three-way tie probably with two losses for them to get there. So I think that would be one thing. And the second thing is that some other teams that we thought were going to be there, like, for instance, in the Pac-12, we know that when UCLA and Stanford play each other, one of them is going to have two losses. And a couple of other teams that were looked at and viewed as being the teams that would be in the mix, they have now already had two losses. So you'd have to say that the Pac-12 has already kind of been thrown into a tailspin.
Yeah, and Oregon is the bell cow out there, usually year in, year out, and they have had a really, really rough start to this season. We'll see if they can turn things around.
We talked. Yeah, one team is floundered, and the other team staggered.
Yeah, no doubt. And Auburn here in the SEC, a team that a lot of people picked to be in that championship game, as you talked about with Georgia, it didn't look like either one of those will be there. I'll tell you, Georgia-Florida, and we'll talk about this game next week, obviously, but Georgia-Florida is a big game, but Georgia's two games back right now of Florida. Florida's undefeated, of course, in the SEC, so that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Florida with the inside track, but they've also don't have a quarterback. All right, let's talk about the games this weekend, and we'll start, and there are a few really interesting matchups, and I'm going to just kind of go down these one by one and these lesser-known matchups and get a quick response from you on each one. Louisville plays early morning game Saturday. They play at number 11, Florida State. Any chance of the Noles going down?
There is a chance, and I think there are two things. First of all, Louisville, while they have been a little bit disappointing, they still have some clout, and of course we know their coach knows how to get some things done. But it being 11:30 game in Tallahassee, that will help them. So it's a possibility. Probably not likely, but I think it's a better than average possibility.
17th ranked Iowa, of course, they're plodding along nicely this year. Northwestern with the loss to Michigan, but they're otherwise undefeated. This game's an early morning game too. This is in Chicago. What do you think about this game?
Well, what do we think about Northwestern? I mean, you know, they were humming along and getting beat like they did.
38-0.
That's really, really bad. And I'll have to say that Iowa is a very stable, solid, consistent team. But I'd call it a toss-up at this point.
A game that some people think that is a dangerous, dangerous out-of-conference game for the Ole Miss Rebels. I don't know if I buy into that or not. But they're going to a very near opponent, somebody across the state line that they know real well, and that's Memphis. I mean, is it correct to call this an upset special?
It could very well be. Memphis is the kind of team, it's kind of, what would you say, they either it's all out or all in kind of thing, because they'll throw the ball around, and they'll throw it around recklessly. And if Ole Miss snabbed some of those, then Ole Miss probably dominate, but if they don't, Memphis could very easily be in this game. And the second thing, Jacob, does Ole Miss come in, do they come in motivated for this game? And if they're not motivated, they're going to find this team is a good team they're playing.
Number 19, Oklahoma is at Kansas State. Kansas State with a very tough loss last week at home against the TCU, third-ranked TCU. They get Oklahoma this week. Oklahoma hadn't lost back-to-back regular season games since Bob Stoops' first year in 1999. That's a long time. This is a chance for them to do it after this really bad Texas loss last week.
Well, I think Oklahoma win the game. I'll tell you why. You know, Kansas State really played well last week, and they had the chance to really pull the upset. Bill Snyder really knows how to get his team ready, but I'm wondering if they spent everything they had. And Oklahoma now comes in wounded, so I think Oklahoma win this game.
TCU at Iowa State, any chance of an upset?
Not unless the Cyclone really hits out there. It would be more than just the Iowa State Cyclones. It would have to be a real Cyclone for there to be an upset.
Utah hosting Arizona State. This is a late game, 9 o'clock ESPN. The Utes coming off of a big win. Could it be a letdown this week?
Underline this one.
Okay, all right.
Arizona State probably will win this game. But if they don't, then Arizona State's going to be another Pac-12 team that's kind of eliminated.
Clemson hosting Boston College.
Clemson is better be very careful because Boston College has a very stubborn defense, and this could be upset special here.
The number one team in the nation, Ohio State, is hosting Penn State Saturday night, 7 o'clock on ABC.
I don't know. Penn State at times have looked good and times look very bad, but Ohio State hadn't played anybody yet.
And they hadn't looked great either.
They have not. And this could be a difficult game for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I'm in complete agreement with you. I think Ohio State could very easily go down in this game. All right, USC at number 14, Notre Dame. Some people think Brian Kelly may be a candidate for the USC job, but he's going to play him this week.
You can't help but think that Notre Dame will win the game, but you know, Southern Cal may come out and with everything that's going on, they just may play loose. And if they do, they've got very good players. I think, in fact, Southern Cal's players are as good as Notre Dame's players. But the coaching situation, just what is hard to put your finger on this.
Yeah, I think because of that, I think Notre Dame will get a win at home. Missouri and Georgia, two teams that are really in a free fall right now, and this is in Athens. I think Georgia bounces back. You?
I think Georgia begins to make their comeback here. I think they'll settle down because they've got a good team. The thing that's surprising about me, of course, we know that Chubb got hurt last week and in the first play of the game and was out, and that really, you know, Jacob, you think about it, that takes a lot out of a team. Not only do you lose your best player, but it takes, you know, all your players, it just took a heart out of the players, and that really hurt. But I think Georgia will be regrouped. The surprising thing to me is the fact that I believed to start the season that they were going to have a really good defense, and that really good defense has now given up 38 points in two straight weeks.
Let's get to the big three. These are the big three games this weekend. Top 10 matchups, except for one is not. But we'll start in Baton Rouge, where number 8 Florida goes to number 6 LSU. These are two undefeated teams in the SEC. I think LSU rolls easily in this game.
Well, you're probably right, but with Les Miles and Jim McElwain playing quarterback this week, I guess that's who's playing the quarterback for them, isn't it?
Yeah, Florida, of course, with Will Grier and the suspension, you don't know what's going on there. And then LSU gets play from Brandon Harris, sometimes good.
This is almost a quarterbackless game. So we might see, maybe they'll play the single wing in this game. And if they do, I'm going to favor Fournette.
Yeah, I agree. Leonard Fournette, they could probably just hand it off to him every play and they'd be just fine. Number 7, Michigan State takes to the road to play a hot, red hot, number 12 Michigan team in Ann Arbor. College Game Day will be there. I am going to pick Michigan State.
I'll say that Michigan wins this game.
Okay.
I just do not see Michigan State even staying on the field with them.
And really? You think Michigan big? Wow. Well, Jim Harbaugh, man, if this is the case, he'll have satellite cams everywhere.
It's not they so start much winning. Michigan either. I just don't think Michigan State has something is not really working for them. Now, I will say this. If Connor Cook can get on his game and lead the team, then that could be the salvaging point for Michigan State, because I think they have a really good quarterback. But I don't know what's been going on with them. They just hadn't been doing anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're going to figure it out this weekend. I like the Spartans in the game.
I imagine they'll be motivated, don't you?
You never know. You never know about this Michigan State team. One week they show up and one week the net, and they don't. Number 10, Alabama is playing at number 9, Texas A&M. Another top 10 SEC game. By the way, this is the first time in 4 years that there have been two top 10 SEC games in the same weekend. That's an interesting stat. But anyway, the Crimson Tide traveling to Aggieland. We know they lost to Ole Miss earlier. They came back and walloped Georgia. Which Alabama team are we going to see this weekend?
Well, that's the question. Was there somebody named Shakespeare said something about it? That's the question. So I guess we could be Shakespearean here,
yeah,
and say that's the question. What Alabama team is going to show up? If Alabama plays to their potential, I think the game will be I won't say easy, but Alabama win by a good margin. But if they don't, that's the question. Texas A&M's got really some outstanding receivers, and they got a good quarterback, and they have a pretty good team. But I think if Alabama sticks to running the ball and they get their running game going, they could control this game.
Well, we know John Chavis is going to have something for that Alabama offense. And Jake Coker kind of reminds me of Bo Wallace. You get good Jake some weeks and bad Jake some weeks. And I think it all depends on how frustrated Alabama's offensive line gets by the defensive line play of the opponent. But I really think that Alabama will win this game in the margin of 10, like you said, 10, 13 points or so. If all goes to plan, if they don't have 8 turnovers or something of that nature. But I like Alabama in this game. I'm not going to call Texas A&M overrated. They're a very talented football team. But you look at the games they've won so far, Arizona State, Mississippi State, Arkansas, they really haven't been all that impressive. Maybe Mississippi State game was the most impressive. But, I don't think we know everything about this Texas A&M team.
Well, the Arizona State win, now that's a big win.
It was a big win, yeah. It was a big win. I don't know that Arizona State was near as good as we thought either, but we'll see. Texas A&M, Alabama this week, a great game in College Station. I think Alabama continues winning, and I think that game in 3 weeks, or is it 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is, that against LSU is going to be a monster matchup. But anyway, for the college football professor, I am Jacob Bunn. We will continue to break down games here for you all season, and we will see we're right or wrong on some of these predictions, but we have fun doing it, and we love having you listen to our show here at thebunsports.com. We'll be back to recap week 7 and preview week 8 next week here at bunsports.com. Have a great weekend.